Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena, Text 29. Bhajanti Atta Tvam Atta Eva Sadavo Vyudasta Maya Guna Vibramodayam Vavat Paranusmaranat Rite Satam Nimitam Anyat Bhagavan Na Vidmahe Vajantyata tvam atta eva sadavo Vyudasta maya guna vibramodayam Bhavat padanu smaranat rite satam Nimita manyat bhagavan navidmahe Bhajantyata tvam atta eva sadavo Vyudasta maya guna vibramodayam Bhavat padanu smaranad rite satam Nimitta manyat bhagavan navidmahe Vajantyata tvam atta eva sadavo Vyudasta maya guna vibramodayam Bhavat padanu smaranat rite satam Nimitta manyat bhagavan navidmahe Bhavat padanu smaranat rite satam Yat bhagavan vidvahe Janatam sadeva sadavo Yadasta maya guna vibramodayam Vapadana smarana rite satam Nimitta manyad bhagavana vidmahe Vajantya tatvam at eva sadavo Vaishnavis, Chantita Tvam Atta Eva Sadavo Yudasta Maya Guna Vibramodaya Bhavat padanu smarana rite satam Bhajanti.
They worship.
Atta. Therefore. Tvam. You. Atta eva. Therefore. Sadavaha. All saintly persons.
Vyudasta.
Who dispel.
Maya guna.
The modes of material nature.
Vibrama.
Misconceptions.
Udayam.
Produced.
Bhavat.
Your.
Pada.
Lotus feet.
Anusmaranat.
Constantly remembering.
Rite.
Accept. Satam. Of great saintly persons.
Nimittam.
Reason.
Anyat.
Other.
Bhagavan.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Na.
Not.
Vidmahe.
I can understand. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation, great saintly persons who are always liberated, take to your devotional service, because only by devotional service can one be relieved from the illusions of material existence. O my Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter of your lotus feet, except that such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. Please repeat. Great saintly persons who are always liberated, take to your devotional service, because only by devotional service can one be relieved from the illusions of material existence. O my Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter at your lotus feet, except that such souls are constantly thinking of your lotus feet. Purport. The karmis are generally engaged in fruitive activities for material bodily comforts. The jnanis, however, are disgusted with searching after material comforts. They understand that they have nothing to do with this material world, being spirit souls. After self-realization, the jnanis, who are actually mature in their knowledge, must surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante. Self-realization is not complete unless one comes to the devotional platform. Therefore, it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that those who are Atmarama, self-satisfied, are freed from all contaminations of the material modes of nature. As long as one is affected by the modes of material nature, especially by Rajas and Tamas, he will be very greedy and lusty and will therefore engage in hard tasks, laboring all day and night. Such false egoism carries one from one species of life into another perpetually, and there is no rest in any species of life. The jnani understands this fact and therefore ceases to work and takes to karma sannyas. Yet this is not actually the platform of satisfaction. After self-realization, the material wisdom of the jnani leads him to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he is satisfied only in contemplating the lotus feet of the Lord constantly. Prithu Maharaj therefore concluded that liberated persons taking to the devotional path have acquired the ultimate goal of life. If liberation were the end in itself, there would be no question of a liberated person's taking to devotional service. In other words, the transcendental bliss derived from self-realization, known as Atmananda, is very insignificant in the presence of the bliss derived from devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Pritcha Maharaj therefore concluded that he would simply hear of the glories of the Lord constantly and thus engage his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The verse again, great saintly persons who are always liberated, take to your devotional service, because only by devotional service can one be relieved from the illusions of material existence. O my Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter of your lotus feet, except that such souls are constantly thinking of your lotus feet. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the karmis are generally engaged in fruitive activities for material bodily comforts. The jnanis, however, are disgusted with searching after material comforts. So I think we all have this sort of experience. From very few of us were, you know, born in the Krishna consciousness movement. So we all had that experience of chasing after material comfort by trying to work somehow or other. You know, we want certain things out of life. We want a certain level of comfort. But to get that, you know, we find, you know, that we have to work. You know, maybe when we're young, you know, our parents take care of us, but sooner or later, you know, we find ourselves moving out of the parents' house and having to figure out, you know, how to get at least, you know, the same level of comfort. And we find we have to work for it. It becomes very, you know, distressing. You know, so many problems come up in this struggle, hard struggle for material existence. For some, it's a little easier than others, you know, because of past karma, perhaps. But everyone actually has to struggle. And then some, they become, as is said here, disgusted with it. You know, they begin to perceive, well, this isn't quite right. Of course, some people, they just, well, okay, I'm disgusted with it, but I'll get over it. I'll get back to the business of life, and things will go on. That's most people. But some people, and I think we find ourselves in that number, begin to look for something else, for something higher. They want to get liberated from the whole process. And they think there's got to be something more than this, you know, to life. And then maybe they, you know, if they're in college, they start taking some philosophy classes, or, you know, they meet some friends who are talking about what's the purpose of life, what there's got to be more, something. And they may even leave school sometimes. They may leave their job. They go wandering off, you know, searching, you know, for something higher, because they want to be liberated from that whole struggle. But what is real liberation? You know, they don't know. Some think liberation is just freedom from miseries. But even if you can actually achieve that, it's really not very satisfactory. In Vedic culture, there are paths that lead to liberation. Different systems of yoga and meditation And sometimes people become attracted, even in the Western world, to these basically impersonal systems of meditation and yoga that are supposed to give this kind of relief. But it really doesn't work. Yen yen vrindaksha vimuktimaninas, tvayashta bhavat avishuddha buddhya, arura krishtrena padam patam tata, patantya do anadruta yushmadangriha. By great effort, mental effort, and sometimes yoga practice, one can achieve this platform of freedom from the pull of the modes of material nature, at least temporarily, can rise above the pull of the senses, the pull of the mind, and you go to this platform of moksha, or liberation. But this verse says that if you don't achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, then you have to go back down. Because really, ultimately, we're persons. And personality means desire. And if you can't fulfill desires on the level of liberation, then the desires will pull you back down to the struggle for material existence again. So it's a false liberation because the intelligence is still contaminated with some bit of selfish desire. The desire for liberation is actually selfish. So it's avishuddha buddhaya. The buddhi is still avishuddha, not pure. Shuddha means pure, avishuddha means not pure. So the intelligence of those who strive simply for this sense of liberation from responsibilities and struggle is not really pure. And because of that, they go back down. Now, in the Western world, kind of the equivalent of a yogi is an astronaut. By great struggle, the astronauts go into space. They're floating, they're free of gravity, they're free of responsibilities, kind of in the mind of Western people, sort of the equivalent of being a mystic yogi is like being an astronaut, because they get to blast off into space. But out in the world, a lot of people are talking about this one astronaut who, they use the term fell down, patantiyada, fell down, from her position. Because even though she was an astronaut, which is kind of like the highest position of liberation, according to the Western technological sort of mentality, sort of like being a yogi, she got involved in a love triangle. There was another astronaut that she was in love with, and there was some other lady Air Force officer, who was in love with the same astronaut. So she decided she was going to go and mess with this other, with her romantic rival. And she got caught. I guess she had the idea, she was going to murder this person and then get away clean, But she got caught and is now being charged with attempted murder. So she rose to a very high position, but because, she wasn't really satisfied, she got dragged, back down, and now is going to have to undergo a trial and everything that goes along with that. So it's the same with these impersonalists who, through their methods, through their mental and bodily contortions, they may rise to some position of liberation, but because they don't achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, they again fall down. And why is that? Because as persons, as conscious selves, we require activity. We require love. satisfaction. It's a part of what it means to be a spirit soul, to be an individual conscious spirit soul. There are desires that need to be fulfilled. And they can't be fulfilled just by this sense of liberation, because this liberation is not really a positive thing. It's more or less the absence of suffering, the absence of struggle. And yes, there is some satisfaction in that. You have to take satisfaction in the self. That's what it means to be Atmarama. So Atmarama, in one sense, means to be not chasing after external things, not being Bahir Mukha, chasing after external things, but being satisfied, knowing that one is a spirit soul. So there is some satisfaction in that, but it's not complete satisfaction, because in it there's no relationship. And you can see that in one sense it's like that. I was asking, I was a couple of weeks ago, I was in the Bahamas. I was giving some lectures about my books, for the Shivananda Yoga Society. And so I was talking to one of the yogis there and saying, "Well, what's happiness for you?" And this yogi said, "Well, it's to get away completely by myself, to be completely alone with no cell phone, no computer, just, my father has a house in the countryside in England, and I go there and I just be by myself. That's happiness for me." And on another level, that's sort of the happiness that they aspire for in their kind of impersonal meditations. But how long can one really be satisfied like that? What if you're told, "Well, yes, you have to stay alone, by yourself, for the rest of your life." It's actually considered, like in criminal justice system, like solitary confinement is considered one of the worst punishments. To be just in your own cell, just by yourself, is considered to be one of the most cruelest punishments, because there's no relationship. Kaivalyam narakayate, the other Vaishnavas say, this impersonal liberation, they look at it as hell. Naraka means hell. Kaivalyam is liberation. Kaivalyam narakayate. They compare the Vaishnavas, they compare this liberation to hell. And why is that? Because there's no relationship there, no opportunity to serve, no opportunity for these loving exchanges with Krishna. Rasovai sa. Krishna is the source of all rasas, pleasurable relationships. And that's what we really want. So that's why it said, Atmaramas chamunio nirgrantyapyurukrame kurvantya haitikim bhaktim itam bhuta gano hari. That those who actually achieve this position of Atmarama, being self-satisfied, they aren't completely satisfied with that. They become attracted to Krishna's qualities, and then they engage in Krishna's service because there's a higher pleasure there, a positive pleasure, not just kind of like the negative sense of relief that you get when you stop banging your head against the wall. There's actual positive pleasure that can only be found in relishing a transcendental loving exchange with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, whose very name means the reservoir of transcendental pleasure. So that's what the real Atmaramas are striving for. to enter into loving exchanges with, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's possible because by constitution, we each have such a relationship. Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnera Nitya Das. The real self is servant of Krishna. So that means the Sarupa doesn't mean we're just an individual, isolated spirit soul. That's not the real definition of the self. The real definition of the self is relational. Jivara Swarupa, the real nature, the true form of the spirit soul is Krishna Nitya Das. That means the true form includes not just the individual soul, but the supreme soul, Krishna, and their relationship, which is one of service. But this relationship of service is not like service relationships in the material world, where the servant is serving with some material motive and the master is engaging servants with some material motive. It's not like that. In those kind of relationships, you know, the master tries to exploit the servant. The servant sometimes revolt, kill the master, or the masters kill the servants or something. It's not like that. It's based on an entirely different principle. Anandamaya Vyasat. The nature of these relationships is they're full, you know, of transcendental pleasure. It's like Krishna has a desire to expand his pleasure unlimitedly. And how does he experience that pleasure? He experiences pleasure in relationships, in loving exchanges, which is how, even in this material world, that's basically how people experience pleasure. You know, why does somebody try to earn so much money or make, you know, become a success? In order to please somebody, to please someone, so that he or she can enjoy pleasurable relationships with someone who's attractive. You don't like to enjoy with somebody who's not attractive. So, Krishna is the supreme, attractive, all-attractive personality of Godhead. And we have an opportunity to engage in a pleasurable, loving exchange with Krishna. Because we're the same species, really. Like Krishna says, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The jivas, the spirit souls, they're of the same quality as me. They're actually part of me. So there can only be exchange between similar entities. So we're similar to Krishna. Krishna has a spiritual form. We have a spiritual form. Sometimes people speak of anthropomorphism. That means, well, we're human beings and we project a human form on God, who is ultimately impersonal. But really, it's the other way around. We're theomorphic. That means God has his form, and he gives us a similar form. Like the Bible says, you know, God created humans in his image, created man in his image. So we are like little samples of Krishna. And just like Krishna has a desire for a relationship, we have a desire for a relationship. If we try to satisfy that desire in relationship to Krishna, who is the real object of love, then we're satisfied. But if we direct, you know, that loving propensity elsewhere, then we don't experience that satisfaction. If we try to love anyone or anything, not in relationship to Krishna, but just in relationship to our own selfish desires, then we experience this dissatisfaction. So even the Atmaramas, like Shukadev Goswami, the four Kumaras, they were on the platform of Atmarama. They were self-satisfied. They were liberated. But they went further to achieve, you know, real liberation. The real liberation of entering into a relationship of loving service with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktir hitvan yata rupam swarupena vyavastiti. Real liberation means using our eternal spiritual form in eternal service to Krishna. So does anybody have any questions or comments? Archita Prabhu. Well, I was sort of, can't say everything in every class, but I was sort of, you know, hinting at that when I was saying learning to love anyone or anything in proper relationship to Krishna is also real love. So Krishna includes Krishna's devotees, Krishna's energies. So a devotee can't just say, well, I love Krishna, and then neglect, you know, Krishna's devotees, other spirit souls, things that are meant to be used in Krishna's service. So loving Krishna includes that. It's not exclusive. So it's a question of seeing everything in, you know, proper perspective. Because actually, without doing that, it's not real love. You know, there's some selfishness there. If we don't properly learn how to relate to Krishna in a selfless way, then we're still going to be on a selfish platform. And the relationships that we have with Krishna's parts and parcels and with Krishna's energies are still going to be not very satisfactory. Of course, Krishna understands, you know, that we can't come to the platform of pure devotional service immediately, so we're given, you know, the chance to become more pure through the process of bhakti yoga, which begins with sadhana bhakti, rules and regulations. And then by following the rules and regulations that were given for how to serve Krishna in a particular ashram, in a particular varna, will gradually become purified. But no, it's not that in the name of loving Krishna, one should neglect, you know, one's husband, one's wife, one's children. That's not actual service to Krishna. Prem Sankirtan. Prabhupada says that in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, yes. So the question is, there's one place in the ninth canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada says that all the jiva souls that are here, they get first position of Brahma, and then they work themselves down from that. In other words, you're given the best position. You start out at the top. Usually when you go to work for a company, they give you a job at the bottom, and then you have to work your way up. But Krishna apparently gives the top position first in the material world, and then you work yourself down from there by further disqualifying yourself. But the question is just like Prabhupada said, everyone starts out as a Brahma. Does everyone go through a phase of being a jnani and achieving liberation into the Brahma Jyoti? As far as I can tell, the history of each soul is different. For example, you could become a Brahma and then just immediately achieve liberation right after that. Understand your position, serve Krishna, only take one birth in the material world. Some could take their next birth in a lower position, maybe human, maybe animal. They may go up back to the human form, and from the human form, go back to Godhead, or, as Srila Prabhupada said, they may, from the human form, go into the Brahma Jyoti, again come down, back to the Brahma Jyoti again, again and again and again. So as far as I can tell, my best understanding of Srila Prabhupada's instructions on this is that each soul could be in a different position. It's not that every soul has to go to the Brahma Jyoti, as far as I can tell. Sura Prabhu.
With those who are attractive, what did you mean by that? Because I've heard another philosophy. There was a poem by a great American poet. It goes, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. Go from a personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. So can you explain that we're only attracted to something that's attractive? We only should have a relationship with something that's attractive.
But why is the great poet saying that? It must be because the tendency is to search for some relationship with some personality that one finds attractive in such way. Otherwise, the poet wouldn't have to make the statement that he did, right? So I think that's the tendency. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.